Is that a la Rudy Atwood? Rudy Atwood used to play. Always had the left hand going like that. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 19. Anybody need a worksheet? Just slip your hand up. You missed getting a worksheet. One down front here. Anybody else? Up over here. While you're turning there, Merle was talking about the building here, spoke with the township. One of the issues we have with our building is that we are on a private septic system here. And believe it or not, there's a sand mound in our front yard. The way they graded it, thanks to Larry Grimm and some other guys, you would never know it's out there. But if we get into the new building, to really expand the school and some other things, we'd have to either put in another system or hook up to public. And public is available, but it's about a quarter of a mile down the road here. And so I spoke with the township today, and their goal is to go ahead and get it up in here. But of course, they're talking about funding and all this kind of stuff. So as crazy as it might sound, you might want to pray that they can get the septic, the sewage. A terrible thing to pray about, isn't it? But they'll get the utilities up to our door here. It would be very good, because that would allow us to move ahead. So there's some time in there, some engineering things and so forth. So there's some logistical things we need to deal with. We need that building back there. And so you pray for how the work, all that will work out. Lord knows. He knows. All righty. I couldn't help myself. I called this evening's message, Who's on First? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. And who's on first and what's on second? I don't know who's on third. But anyway, I just couldn't help myself. And so sometimes we wonder where we are in the standings here, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Let me read a few pieces of a little bit of scripture here. I know I'm going kind of extension here. I'm kind of extending here a little bit, but it's because this is context. Context, context, context. There's so many pieces of scripture that people have misused and abused and made it say this and made it say that, and they didn't know what it said. If you put it in context, if you go back and put it in context with the entire book sometimes, put it in context with other, just compare scripture upon scripture, you know, scripture with scripture. The Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible. If you take enough time, that's why you should not only read a few verses every day, but you should also try to read through the entire book every year. And some people do it multiple times a year. But you keep putting things in perspective. The more you do that, the more the Word of God is going to make sense. Otherwise, it's like, you know, what is it? The four blind men to try to decide what an elephant looked like. And one of them said he was like a trunk. He was like a snake. And one of them said he was like a tree trunk. And one of them said it was like a, you know, a great big flap. And depending on what part of the elephant they try to discover. And the Word of God's like that too. You need to put it all into context. So Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. I'm going to go quickly through this, but I want you to see this, remind you of this, because it has to do with chapter 20, which is where we really are tonight. Verse 16 of chapter 19 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." So why is he even thinking about trying to do something good if there's only one good but God? But somehow he kind of throws that to the side. He's going to talk about how good he can be. He says, "There's none good but God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said unto him, "Which?" Okay, just name them. Jesus says, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, this young man saith unto him, "All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" I said, I've got this thing down. I think I'm going to be able to be in the category of good. Verse 20 says, the young man said to him, all these have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The fact is, he's got to decide now, who am I going to trust, me or God? He was trusting his mammon, if you will. He was trusting things. He was trusting his good works. Here, to say, well, I've got to sell what I have and go follow God, you're saying, okay, I'm going to follow God, or am I going to trust the things that I have accumulated in life? And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 22, when a young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What a terrible thing. He was sad because he had great possessions. How many here would be sad because you got great, great possessions? No, you say, well, I mean, hope nobody's playing Powerball. But anyway, the Powerball big thing is $500 million, you know, and everybody thinks, you know, life is going to be, everything will be fine because I'm going to win Powerball and then life will be good. But no, that's not the way it's going to work. But anyway, he says he had great possessions. He was sorrowful. Verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples. Basically, if you read between the lines, it's okay, boys, did you see this? I want to teach you something here, boys. See, I want to tell you the truth. Verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, if you haven't caught it, let me tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, his disciples heard it, and they were exceeding amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them, and he said unto them, with men, this is impossible. What's impossible? Salvation. Salvation is impossible. I don't care whether you've kept all the commandments or whether you have a whole boku bunch of money. He said, you're not going to buy your way in there. With men, this is impossible. But with God, not only this is possible, but all things are possible. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? We already did what you told him to do, so we're in good shape. So we have forsaken all. What do we get out of this? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, well, they've done what? They've taken up the cross and followed him. Ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto, see, it doesn't stop there. The chapter was put in by translators. And so it just breaks it down so we can kind of get into where we, so we know where we're headed. That word for means because of what I just talked about. So he's running right into this. And in fact, the verse 16 is going to say, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. So this little parable I'm just about to read is bookend. It has bookends of both ends where it says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So this all has to do with the same conversation that he's having with the disciples. So they said, well, what can we do? I mean, we've already forsaken all. What do we get out of it? He said, listen, you're going to get plenty out of it right now. And the fact is, what you get is eternal life. Verse 1 of chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto man, a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And said unto them, this is like 5 o'clock and day's over at 6. Okay? So they're going to work about an hour. So about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? Apparently they were staying there all the day. Anyway, they said to him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that will ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first. The last one that was hired unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And answered one of them and saith, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Now, wait a minute. They got paid first, but he's calling them the last. All right, so just, again, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is God's perspective. This is looking through God's eyes here. This is not... We see life through blinders. We see a little time, a little temporal moment in eternity. God sees the big picture. And the more we see things God's way, the more we're going to understand and appreciate what it is that he's doing. But some things we will not understand until we get to the other side. Farther along, we'll know all about it. But the fact is, we're going to find out when we get to the side. Some of us thought we were last and we were first. Some of us will think we got a good deal, we were first, and we're actually going to come down on the lower part of the totem pole here. So verse 14 says, take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? In other words, he's the sovereign. Is thine eye evil? You give me the evil eye because I'm good, because I'm doing something that's good for somebody? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Which is starting a new thought that's going to end up in chapter 22 and verse 14. Let's pray. And I know it's a long start there, but let's put this thing in perspective here tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Things speak to us, Lord. Give us what we need. And I pray that you'll use this time together and help us understand these things. And sometimes when we have a parable, Lord, it is hard to understand. It's as I say, an earthly thought with a heavenly meaning, and yet, Lord, often there's many little things you want us to learn in these things, and so each of us have our own need here this evening, our own shortcoming maybe, our own encouragement that's needed, and so, Lord, I pray that you give us exactly what we need here this evening. I need your Holy Spirit to do that work, and we ask in Christ's name, amen. So, disciples over here, a conversation, and even after all they've learned from the teachings of Christ in the past years, they still misunderstand what Jesus is saying, and they take his statements to the rich young ruler to mean that God to serve God is a sacrifice. It is as if we can impress God with our sacrifice. Well, they said, well, he said, leave everything and come and follow me. Sell it all and give it to the poor. Well, we forsook all. And the fact is they haven't understood that forsaking all of this to gain all that's eternal is not a sacrifice. And so it's almost as if they think they can impress God. And they're rating their works higher in the eyes of God if their works require sacrifice. Jesus was not asking the rich young ruler to sacrifice. When he asked him to go sell everything and come follow him, he really wasn't asking the rich young ruler to sacrifice. Jesus was asking the rich young ruler to trust in God over the material riches of this world. If the rich young ruler cannot trust God for his earthly life, How can he really trust God with his eternal life? He was saying, what's in your heart? What is it that you're trusting in? Because he came looking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, just get rid of this life and I'll give you eternal life. Well, I'm not sure I want to, risk that. So the disciples see how good the rich young ruler is, even though there's none good but God. And yet the rich young ruler came up short in trusting his earthly well-being to God. And so Peter speaks up and says, and he switches feet in his mouth, and he says, well, we did that. We forsook all, didn't we, Jesus? As if to say, we're better than the rich young ruler because we have already done what you asked him to do. And if the rich young ruler can have eternal life by forsaking all, then we must already have eternal life, maybe even more so because we've already forsaken all. It's funny how we see these things. Now, so he answers there. We had that there, that scripture top of the page there. It says, Peter says unto him, behold, we've forsaken all, follow thee. What shall we have there? And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in other words, you're going along with me, going the same way with me. He says, in the regeneration, the continual, that new life, that new rebirth. We're talking about when everything is all made new. When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging, distinguishing, trying, esteeming, condemning, punishing, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken, set and packing, set your houses packing, your brethren, your sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, I gave you a couple things that I filled in from last week. Number one was, there's still none good but God. Number two, we do not inherit eternal life because of our good deeds. Number three, God rewards our sacrifices. He says, in fact, we read it in Mark and Luke. He says, I'll give you a hundredfold in this life or in this time. Basically, what he's saying is, whatever investment you make, I will reimburse you. I will take care of you. The book of Proverbs says, he that lendeth to the poor, that the Lord will pay us back. If we give the poor, we're lending to the Lord, and he will repay. God knows. He takes care of us. Verse number four there, the first shall be last. And the principle is, there are some that seem to have it good on this earth and appear to be blessed of God and seem to be running in first place right now, who will be at the bottom of the heap when we stand before God. We got to see things from God's eyes, not our eyes. He that dies with the most toys is still dead. All right? Now, number five, the last shall be first. There are some who look like losers on earth now who will come out on top when they stand before God because they have been willing to give up what is temporal to reach for the eternal. Number six, I use the term eternal perspective. In other words, be careful judging your status. These were, if you missed these from last week, that's what these are. Be careful judging your status with God by your current situation. Just because things don't look good right now doesn't mean they're always going to stay there. But wait a minute. What if they do? What if we pass into the next life not having hardly anything? Well, you ask the rich man and Lazarus. See which one is happy where he is. Letter B, there's more to life than material possessions and social position. By the time Paul was finally going home to glory, he had been sitting in a prison for a while, and then he took his head. Not exactly the highlight of society, but he was not a loser. He was a winner. And so sacrificing oneself and coming to last now does not mean you're coming in last at the finish line in heaven. Dying with the most toys doesn't mean anything. And whether we come out looking like we're first in the world, it should not be our concern. Now, why don't you look at Matthew 20, verse 16. I think I left that there for you. He's going to give us this parable, and we're going to walk through it there a little bit. But I want you to see where we're headed. He says, so the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Now look what it says here. So, after hearing the parable of the laborers coming in, he says, in this way, what I just showed you here, in like manner, the last, the one that's farthest, the final one, the lowest, the uttermost, the last one shall be first in line, shall be foremost, shall be at the beginning of the line, will come out in the best position. And the one who's really, you think is out, is the foremost and best position, will come out last. He says, for, because, by the reason of, because many be called, but few are chosen. Now, let me give you this in here. That word called means invited. It means appointed. It says, many are called, but few are selected. Now, did he call the rich young ruler? Come and follow me. Was he selected? No. It's not the same thing. Being called and selected is not the same thing. It says, many are called, few are chosen. So it can't be the same thing. Called is an invitation. Chosen means I've actually gone ahead and selected you. Now, let's walk through this real quick. Now, there is obviously a connection between this parable and the passage that we've talked about. And Matthew 20:16, that I just showed you there, is a transition to the next thought, which is presented and then punctuated with another bookend in Matthew chapter 22:14, where it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, if you study what others say about this particular parable, you're going to find a variety of interpretations. And it could be that there's a certain amount of validity in all of them. Sometimes there's a principle, and there's one interpretation, many applications. Okay? Number one, let me give you a couple of possible applications here. Jews and Gentiles. In our passage here, where it talks about the parable, he went out and he got some guys to go work in his vineyard. He said, I'll give you a penny. He told them what they were going to get at the end of the day. Then he went out a little later and says, hey, why don't you guys come to work? And when it's all said and done, I'll do right by you. Well, okay. So then he goes out a little later. He does the same thing. He goes out a little later, does the same thing. Finally, the 11th hour, he goes out and he gets a few guys and he works them for an hour. When it's all said and done, the day is over, he's paying everybody, and he gives the guys who start at the 11th hour, they started last, they're going to get paid first. And they're getting as much as the guys who worked all day. And the guys who worked all day and said, really the penny there really means a day's wages. It was a denarius, as Ryan was using there during the Christmas program. And it was basically considered a day's wages. And they got a day's wages and only worked an hour. Some of them worked a couple hours. But some of them worked, I mean, they started first thing in the day and they went through the heat of the day, they bore the burden of the job all day long, and they're saying, all right, we're gonna get big stuff here. When we came down, they only got a penny like everybody else. And he said, well, this isn't right. Now, the householder is the Lord. And how many times people say, well, wait a minute, God's not fair. God's not playing fair here. This is not right. Why do I have to go through this and they didn't have to? And so that principle shows up in several ways. Number one, A there, says Jews and Gentiles. Some say that this is speaking of the Jews who were called early, if you will, in history to serve God and did so through the hard times, and the Gentiles who were called relatively late in the day to serve God. God said, you Jews, I'm going to give you this and I'll take care of you. He gave them a promise. They got a promise. You know, the promise that was given to the Jews was not given to us. God asks us to serve and says, I'll take care of you. I'll do right by you. And so you could say there's a certain amount of truth to this. See, the church came on the scene in relatively recent times, and their time will be over. We go up in the rapture. Our time is going to be over, And we're going to be given our reward in heaven while the Jewish nation, the nation itself, is still going through the tribulation, Jacob's trouble. And so they're going to bear the heat and the burden of the day. Meantime, we're kind of a flash in the pan. We come in, get to do our thing, and see, we're living during the age of grace, the church age, and then we get to go to heaven. And it's almost like Jesus said, no, wait a minute. You're coming here and you're making use of our God and hightailing out of town before it gets bad. That's not right. So there's a thought there. The fact is, they both get the same reward. That's what he's saying. Letter B, some say these are the lives of Christians. The lives of Christians. In that, some Christians are called to serve God early in life, and they live all their lives for Christ. Some are saved late in life, or at least called to serve late in life, and yet they both get the same payment, the same reward. Some are called to live a relatively easy life for Christ, and others are called to persecution and martyrdom. The fact is, I don't know what we're going to face in America down the road. But right now, I'd still rather be in America than a lot of other places in the world if I'm going to be a Christian. Now, why are we getting off the hook so easy? I don't know. America has. While other places in the world, you know, we talk about martyrs. We think, we probably have all said it. Boys, you read the newspaper, it's getting bad now. Lord's coming back soon. Listen, there's been people around the other side of the world has been living a whole lot worse than this for a lot longer time than this. And God's not coming back because all of a sudden it's showing up at our door. We don't have any idea what it takes to live a sacrificial life. The Bible says the word witness is martyreos, where we get our word martyr. You want to be a witness? Are you willing to be a martyr? Are you willing to die to self? To forgive. If you want to say Jesus was a martyr, though he really wasn't, he gave his life, but if you want to say he was a martyr, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They asked the little boy, what is forgiveness? He says, it's the scent that the rose gives off when you crush it with your foot. That's martyrdom. When somebody just rakes you over the coals, when you actually do suffer persecution because you're living godly, what's the scent you give off? Or do we stink to high heaven? Martyrdom. I don't know. You say, well, this doesn't seem fair. No, it doesn't seem fair. But hang on. Letter C, personal faithfulness. Some people think that this, and that may be the overlying theme here, but there's one interpretation that seems a little more prevalent, takes the idea of faithfulness. In this interpretation, no matter how long you work or how hard you work, that which is measured to you is measured because of your faithfulness. Not how long or how hard, but your faithfulness. A steward should be found faithful. We don't know what God's... I was talking to some missionaries today. I had lunch with some missionaries today, and you know, they're heading off to... Scotland's where they're headed off to. And, you know, we look at somebody who's going to be a missionary and say, well, I don't know how they ever, man, they're going to leave all their family. They're going to go to a foreign land. Of course, that's not necessarily a bad place to go, but it's somewhat westernized. But you're still, you know, my dad had a hard time because I was going to move to York from Carroll County. You all know how far I was. A lot of you rode down there with us the other day. We got down there in less than an hour. And we think, oh, my soul, how could anybody do that? But the fact is, God gives that person the grace to do that. You don't need the grace to do that because he hasn't called you to do that yet. Now, we may dig in our heels and say, God's calling you. Well, I'm not going because I don't want to have to go. And you're digging. Well, you're not going to see the grace of God until you surrender. You surrender, and all of a sudden the grace of God shows up and gives you the strength to do it. Now, let me give you number two. I got to move fast here. I want to finish this. Number two. Remember that the theme of Matthew is Jesus is king. If he's the king, then he's the sovereign. He says, I can do what I want with what I own, and he owns it all. Now, letter A. We have no right, again, these are principles, we have no right to judge what the sovereign does. Well, why did he pay them the same thing he paid me? I worked harder than they did. You don't know all that's going on. We have no right to judge what the sovereign does. Letter B, the sovereign owns all. He owns all. And we have no right to judge what he does with that. Letter C, the sovereign has the right to disperse. Disperse. D-I-S-P-E-R-S-E. Disperse his wealth in any manner he sees fit. Can you imagine? He dealt with these people, said, here's the deal. You get a penny. When it's all said and done, he gives them a penny. And he said, but that's not fair. What do you mean it's not fair? It's exactly what I told you I'd give you. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think maybe I'm going to do this so in case I don't get done, you'll know where I'm headed. When you die, where are you going? Is that right? When you die, where are you going? Darren, when you die, where are you going? Now, I don't want to ruin the pizzazz of all this, but do you think heaven's going to pay for what you do in life? It's going to be more than enough for what you've done. Is it going to pay? Is it going to be plenty? Yeah. Is it going to be plenty? It's going to be plenty. What can you add to heaven? They got a day's wage. They got what they had coming. Now, some didn't have to start until later. Some didn't have to go. We're not right now going through the persecution. Oh, we say we're going through persecution. Pray for me in April. I'm going to go up and pray at the State House. We'll see what happens. Then they open up the session there. But anyway, if I come home looking like this, you're going to know what would happen. But heaven, I think it's a pretty good day's wage. What were the disciples saying? Well, we forsook all. So what do we get? You get heaven. Now, if I give you any more, don't worry about you, but you're getting heaven. How can we cry foul about how God disperses his own wealth? He says there, says, can your eye be evil? Can we, you know, we're giving him the evil eye, Penny. He says, you're going to give me the evil eye for doing something nice to someone with that which is mine? Well, if I went through the trouble and I carried the burden of the day and I was in the heat, they ought to be too. Why? Well, it's not fair. It's not fair. You want fair? You want justice? We can give you justice. We just take your little name and mark it right out of the Lamb's Book of Life. How about we do that? Would you like that? No! I gave you heaven. I'm not going to take it back. He says, well, you're just jealous that you didn't get even more than I promised you. But you're getting the day's wage. Number three. Things will not always seem equitable to us in this realm. things will not always seem equitable to us. We must be careful not to judge the situation according to our own finite perspective and our own criteria. Well, this happened, this happened, this happened. This is the way it should be. Do you realize that probably if somebody went into the ministry in the United States, some young folks went in the ministry, and they had to live in a house that didn't have air conditioning, they feel like they're suffering for Christ. But somebody who lives over there in a third world country gets to have a roof over their head and a pump on the back porch, and they're living high for Christ. But sometimes it just doesn't seem fair. That which appears to be first to us may actually be last, and that which appears to be last may actually be first. Because the fact is, I think, he says, if you suffer with me, you shall reign with me. And he told them, he says, now listen. He says, you know, when we have that, we have the millennial reign of Christ, the time of regeneration, you guys are going to sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel with me. Well, you suffered, we suffered the heat of the day. Well, good for you. You think you're getting paid last on this side. You might be coming in last over here, but you're going to be coming in first over there. Now, when it says, now many are called, but few are chosen, what he's saying is some people don't get this. I think many are called to salvation, but they, and we'll see this in Matthew 22:14, but they don't ever put on the wedding garments. They get asked to the invitation to the wedding, but they never get saved. They don't get to come. They're not selected to go. I think the same thing goes with people who are asked to serve God. God says, I'll use you. I'll serve you. I mean, I'll let you serve me. I told you when I left the little Methodist church, we joined a good independent Baptist church. I said, if I go over there, I won't get to do anything. This isn't right. And sure enough, about 2.5 years, I joined the choir, did this. I wasn't even allowed to sing special music. I had been the choir director where I came from. I was getting kind of snotty, not beside anybody, but kind of in my own heart. And finally, I came to the point where God just used me. Until I was finally broken, he said, now that I can use. Now he had called me. It was in my heart. Why aren't you using me? Because I can't select you yet. Because you're not ready to be used. I called you, but I'm not selecting you. Now I was thinking about you guys because the first thing that happened was someone came up to me and said, well, I tell you what, I heard you can play the guitar and sing. Would you go down to the jail ministry with us on Saturday on Sunday afternoon and do a jail service? And you've heard me say this, but dumb thing went through my mind. That's when I take my sanctified nap. Sunday afternoon, that's when I take my sanctified nap. Why you ask me to do that then? I'll go down Saturday. But Sundays, I like to take my sanctified nap. So he was calling me, but you know what? I wasn't going to be selected if I didn't say yes. Carl was telling me the other day. He said he was at a conference years ago, and they said, what are you doing on Sunday afternoon? He said, well, you know, I don't do anything on Sunday. I have to go home and take a nap. Maybe I should help these kids do their, you know, grow in Christ on Sunday afternoons. I still go home and take a nap. But bless your heart. You see what I'm saying? He said, I think there's people that God has called. You know why I was 30 years old before I went into the ministry, before I went to college? I'm confessing my sins here. I didn't want to leave Carroll County. Just as bad as Dad didn't want me to leave, I didn't want to leave. I liked it there. When I was 18 years old, we drove all the way to California and back. I was so glad to get back to Carroll County. As far as I'm concerned, there was nothing prettier than Carroll County. Now, it's almost the same right here, to be honest with you. It's almost identical right here. Our road's a little better down there. But anyway, it's almost identical. And I wanted to be right here. My son, Nathan, he came home from college last summer. And his plane got in late. We didn't get home till like 1 o'clock in the morning. We got all the stuff in there, all his luggage in the house. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. And I heard the front door go shut. And I walked out. He went out. I don't know if you've been in the house, we got this little circle in front of our house. He went out and laid in the grass. Because where he goes to college, there's no grass. It's all just dust. The dust bowl. It's the high desert of California. And he says, it's green. And he's laying there, you know, doing snow angels in the grass. It's green. Isn't this great? I think some people miss out. They're called. But they're never chosen. Because they never say, I give up. I'll do it. Let me give you number four. God's resources are endless. God's resources are endless. Letter A. What God, quote unquote, spends on others, watch this, has no impact on what God has left to spend on us. I think people say, well, you know what? Look what God did. He gave them. We were hired first, and he's starting to pay the people who were hired last, and he's giving out our pennies. So you're going to have anything by the time it gets to us? No, we get the same penny. The fact is, I work 3 times longer and probably 4 times harder than those guys, and I get one penny. That penny and that penny and that penny and that penny, that belongs to me. He owes me that penny. In fact, the guy shows up, and I had to tell him how to do the job. By the time I told him how to do the job was over. But wait a minute, there's heaven. What God spends on others has no impact on what God is going to spend on us. In fact, for us as the church, he says, whatever's right, it's yours. You'll get what you're supposed to get. Trust me, I'll do right by you. Is what you are seeing, watch. He's saying, is what you're seeing me do with my own riches, the householder saying, is that hurting you? Listen, I made a deal with you and you accepted it. You have not lost anything. I told the others to go work and I did not specify what they would get. I just promised to be fair to them. And they actually exercised more faith than you did. Because he told them they're getting a penny. The first bunch. The rest of them says, I'll just, whatever's right, I'll let you have. They're living by faith. They don't know what they're going to get. He might hand them a Twinkie and send them home. I just promised to be fair. Listen, the church, us, we started later. And we're going to be finished. And the church is going to have their reward. God started with the Jews, and he will finish with the Jews. They also will receive heaven, but the Jews want more. On the other hand, how can you get more than heaven offers? The same thing we go to. Well, I shouldn't have to go through this. Why is it? Listen. Don't stare and say, "Well, listen, I serve," and you don't do this. But I serve every Sunday afternoon. And everybody else is home taking their sanctified nap. And it's me, and Patty, and Sharon, and Steve, and I'm probably missing somebody. And here we are. There's been times when I've gotten so backed up, it's time to come home to get a little dinner to come back for Wednesday night service. And I'll call Janice and say, not getting home tonight. This happened, this happened, this happened. I still got to figure out what I'm finish up what I'm preaching tonight. I started 15 times. And if we're not careful, we have a pity party. He's not paying me enough. Listen, when it's all said and done, we've worked the day. We're going to get more than we can ever imagine. Letter B. All that are selected in here, he's talking about, get eternal life. He's talking about, what should I do to earn eternal life? And of course, Peter says, well, we've already sacrificed it. We've left all, forsaken all. What do we get? Now listen, we worked hard. And disciples had left all to follow. He says, we have borne the burden in the heat of the day. We've taken the brunt of the punishment. And they wanted something more for their trouble than just eternal life. If they get something more than just eternal life, that's fine. God has the right to do it. But man, that's enough. What do you mean, what do we get? We get eternal life. What can you add to eternal life and all the riches of heaven? Whether you work long and hard or short and easy, you can't. We're not getting this because we earned it anyway. We're getting this because of the grace of God. And He's just using us some on the way, on our way to heaven. And by the way, I like being used. He had already determined that if you accepted the call, you're going to get eternal life. And the fact is, they all got a day's wages, a life's wages, if you will. None of us have really earned a life's wages. We haven't earned eternal life. As in the conversation with the rich young ruler, what we do does not inherit eternal life for us. The amount of work we do for Christ and the difficulty of it does not earn us greater eternal life. There may be some blessings. I think there may be some blessings up there. But he says, don't you even think about that. I know people look at this different than some others. I know God says there's rewards and so forth and so on. I think we'd be better off if we didn't even, I know it's part of faith, I understand that, but just humor me here a second. When you get to heaven, what are you going to want to see first? Your mansion or your Savior? I want a mansion with a four-car garage and a Maserati in there. You know what? I think when we walk into heaven, that's going to be the last thing we're going to look at. Because there's a light and there is no darkness there. Because the Lamb is the light. And we're going to say, what in the world? Is that Him? Move out of the way. I'm coming through. I think some are saved young in life and serve God for many years. Some are saved older in life, have difficulty. Some get saved at the 11th hour and may not even be able to serve God much at all. Yet everyone gets eternal life by grace. On the other hand, if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. Number five, coming down the end here. Number five, until we get our eternal life, God reimburses us for our expenses on the job. Until we get our eternal life, until we get home, I think he teaches here that he reimburses us for our expenses on the job. Mark 10:28, parallel passage there. I think you have it there, don't you? Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we've left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands or for my sake and the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Simply say, well, this is hard. I've got a hard life. God's going to take care of you. Number six. Many be called, and the word there is invited. You know that already. But few are chosen, selected. Letter A. Some people think they must be good because they were invited. Hang on with me. The rich young ruler was invited, but he was not selected. He was invited, but the rich young ruler was never hired, if you will. If you put this, because this is the two to go together here. Some may believe that they have been invited to eternal life because they're already good. They think that they are already good enough to be selected, and that must be why they were invited. You following what I'm saying there? Man, God wants to, he wants to take me to heaven. He offered me heaven. Boy, that must be a pretty good catch. Letter B. They were invited, but they were not necessarily selected. Being called, being invited is not the same thing as being chosen. Letter C. They were invited by the grace of God that calls all men to repentance. We are invited to allow ourselves to be prepared by God to be selected. We put ourselves into position to be selected by trusting in the provision for our eternal life by faith. He says, listen, the rich young ruler, he says, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Well, keep the commandments. Well, I've always done that. Well, here's one thing you lack here. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. He said, stop trusting what you have and trust me. You see, he invited him. He says, come, follow me, serve me. I can't. I got too much to give up. You ever hear somebody say, I can't tithe, I make too much? You know how big my tithe would be? I can't afford to tithe that. Now listen, if you make $1,000 a week, your tithe is $100. That leaves you with $900. Right? If you make $100 a week, your tithe is $10 and it leaves you $90. Now would you rather live off of $90 or $900? He said, I've got too much to give up. How can you outgive God? You can't. So, letter C. So we put ourselves in a position to be selected by trusting in the provision for our eternal life by faith. We must forsake all other claims we have to eternal life and simply put everything we are into the hands of Jesus by faith. It's not my works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. The fact is, the same basic principle occurs when you decide you're going to serve Him. God really starts to bless when you. Now, you're not earning eternal life. That's by grace. But you start surrendering yourself to Him to be used of Him. Say, it's not what I have. It's whatever you want to do with me, Lord. Here I am. That's when God really starts using you. Because He can, He'll hire that. He can work with that. Number seven. The winners are simply all those that trust Christ. Whatever's good, that's what I'll pay you. That's good enough with me. Whatever we come out, I trust Him. It's going to be well worth it. No matter what we are called to do after we trust Christ, no matter how long we are called upon to serve, after we trust Christ, no matter how difficult our road may be after we trust Christ, God will give to us whatsoever is right. In the meantime, God will provide all your needs and even reimburse you for your losses while we're here. And whether you're first or last is dependent upon whether you have, watch me, whether you have a worldly perspective or an eternal perspective. What scale are you measuring your life by? The world scale or God's scale? What scale are you living by? The rich young ruler thought he was already good. He just needed to touch up a few things. He knew that Jesus was good. And Jesus told the young man, there's none good but God. And still, the young man asked what he could do to be good enough to be accepted by God. Disciples thought they were good because they had already served and sacrificed. Thus, they thought they deserved special privileges and rewards. But the parable teaches us that what we get is by the grace of a sovereign God. No more, no less. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If our paycheck on this side does not look quite like it should be, don't worry about it. He's going to make it up the difference. It may be in heaven, but it'll make up the difference when the day's over. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, sometimes we think that we're on top of the world, and back to what we're under the world. Sometimes we think that we've lost everything and don't have anything, and the fact is our treasures are built in heaven like a way we can't even imagine. And thank you for the way you take care of us. You said, Lord, if we leave all, you'll take care of those things in this time. Not that we run around with a bunch of it in our pocket, but you use us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Heads are bowed.